We just want to welcome everyone who's joined us through television. Thanks so much for being with us. It is an honor as a church that we can serve you. You know, one of the great ways we can serve you is at the close of our time together, we're going to give you an opportunity to call and opportunity to pray. Maybe you're there. You just need somebody to pray for you. You just need to, somebody just to agree or be there with you in your life. We don't want you to be alone. We want to be there for you. So we want to welcome you from Healing Place Church. We want you to know that you matter to God. Church, why don't we clap our hands for all of those who have joined us through television. Thanks a lot for being with us. What a great opportunity. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We're finishing up a series entitled Everyone, Everyone. What if everyone made some key decisions? How would their life look? What would their homes look like? What would their marriage look like? Maybe what would the world that we live in look like? What would our neighborhood or our workplaces? What would our churches look like? Maybe what would the harvest look like that we're called to reach? Jesus said to look on the harvest, that there are many people in the valley of decision. There are many multitudes that are there that God wants us to make an impact into their life for the glory of Jesus. What would happen if every single one of us made certain decisions? We talked about everyone praying, everyone reading, everyone connecting, everyone serving, everyone giving. We talked just recently about what would the world be like if everyone made a decision, I'm going to make the most out of my life. No matter what has come my way, no matter what lemons I've had happen in my life, no matter what failures, what letdowns have happened, what would happen if all of us just decided that we serve the God of the rebound? Can I have a good amen? And that there's a second chance in God. How would we treat people? How would we respond? What type of difference would we make in our life? If we just made a decision, I'm going to make my life count no matter what. Today, what I want to do for a few minutes is talk about what would it be like if everyone decided to finish strong. If everyone just made a decision in their life that I'm going to dedicate my life to finishing strong in my life. Finishing strong. What would it be like if we made that decision? If we just decided, I'm going to stay committed to my friends and my family, my church, my faith, people, others, and I'm going to be committed through the long haul. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to finish strong. I know a lot of times when you talk about finishing strong, if we're not careful, we can immediately go to a thought, well, I can't do that. Pastor, you don't understand. There's no way that that can happen in my life. I've made too many mistakes. I've not had a good start. I've stumbled. How can I finish strong when I've stumbled? Matter of fact, I've fallen flat on my face a time or two. Maybe feel like I've lost my way. I've been distracted. I don't even know where the journey is. I don't even know where the pathway is. I don't even know if I'm heading in the right direction. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're heading in the wrong direction. How can I finish strong if I feel lost in life, lost in relationship? How do I finish strong if I've not had a good start? Well, you know what matters the most? What matters most is not how you started, but how you finished. And all of us, through the grace and the mercy and the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the truth that we have right here, the faith that we can find in God Almighty, all of us can finish strong with the grace of God. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 12? That's where we're looking today. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is a big billboard that will speak to us that you can finish strong. You can finish strong. All of us can finish strong. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. These are great scriptures. I think they're going to give us strength today. I really believe they're going to strengthen us. It says this, and you know, one of the things I like about Hebrews is Hebrews gives us some pictures of people. And it tells us stories of people. You know what? All of us sometimes can identify when we think, well, there's nobody in the Bible that relates to me. Hebrews chapter 12 is really just about a reflection on people and how God used people. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. One writer said it this way. We are surrounded by a stadium of believers. Stadium of believers. Since we're surrounded by this huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. So the Bible tells us that there is a progress that we could find in God. Let us run with endurance. Everybody say the word endurance. Let us run the race with endurance, the race that God has set before us. So there is a race that God sets before us. There's a path, there's a life that God sets before us. And the writer of Hebrews says, we've got to run that race with endurance. And then he also gives us these amazing truths about the things that have got to, that have got to fall off of our life, the distractions that we've got to get rid of, those things that easily distract us, or those sins that can weigh us down. He goes on to say this. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. From start to finish. God wants to complete what he started in your life. The promises, the dreams, the healing, the hope. God wants to complete the promises that are in your heart. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew that would be his afterward. Now, speaking of Jesus, now he is seated in the place of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. Verse 3, think about all that he endured. How do we keep moving forward? How do we finish strong? How do we keep running the race? Well, the Bible says, consider, think about all that Jesus endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him so that you don't become weary and give up. You know, there's a lot of people that are giving up today. A lot of people just throwing their hands up in there, and there's no use in this marriage. There's no use believing for my child. There's no use with my health. There's no use with my finances. There's no use to believe that God's going to do something. I'm just giving up. The Bible tells us, consider Jesus. Look what Jesus went through. Look what your Savior did on behalf of you. Consider that. Think about those things. So that you don't grow weary. So there's a recipe and there's answers. Aren't you glad that God gives answers to the test in life? Do you remember back in the day when you were in school, or some of you are still in school? And didn't you like it when the teacher would tell you the answers are in the book? Oh, I like that. I can even remember where there were certain textbooks that they had a key in the back of the book where there were answers to certain things that say, go ahead and look at the key. We want you to know the answers because you're going to be tested. Aren't you glad that the answers are in the book? The answers are here. Well, I'm growing weary. I don't feel like I'm going to finish my race. Hebrews says, well, you need to consider him who endured. Think about the one that endured. Finish the scripture. It says, after all, you've not yet given your life in your struggle against sin. You've not had to lay down your life because there was one that already laid down his life. He struggled to the point of death so that you could live. I think this is a great theme. The writer was speaking in a time where Christians had a lot of resistance. There was a time of great temptation not to believe the truth that Jesus died and rose again. There was a lot of distractions. There were lies that were being said that Christ was not the Son of God, that you don't have to believe everything that Jesus taught. And here the writer speaks to that generation, speaks to that moment, and says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, don't give up on the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't give in. Don't waste your life. Don't fold. Don't sell out. But endure for Christ. Because he's seated at the right hand of God. And when you close your eyes here for the final moment, you will see him again. The promise that Jesus is exalted. I love that theme in Hebrews chapter 12, to endure. To endure. How do you endure? How do you finish strong? Pastor, if I've made mistakes, if I've struggled, if I've gotten off course, maybe there's been a detour. Maybe there's been a wreck in your life and you just feel stuck in life, going nowhere. How do I keep enduring? How do I finish strong? See, Hebrews gives us some answers. And I want to pull out three thoughts, three things to consider right here in Hebrews chapter 12 that I believe can help us finish strong. Here's the first thing. Consider them. See, Hebrews chapter 12 says, consider them. Consider who? Consider all those of Hebrews chapter 11. Consider all those that are in the Bible who went through a few things. Consider all those who didn't have perfect circumstances or their situation was not perfect, but yet they were able to have passion for the cause. They were able to keep with purpose. They were able to keep moving forward. Consider them. Consider David. David, there he is, a young boy, but he's standing on that hill. He's looking down at Goliath, fee, fi, fo, fa, big old Goliath trying to take over the world. And David looks down. I'm sure in his natural, he thought, man, that is one big dude. But in his heart, he believed in a mighty God. Consider David. Consider Moses. There's Moses, got some limitations, got some issues. Stuttered, didn't talk right. Every time God would say something for him to do, he'd give an excuse not to do it. 11 times when God spoke the commission to Moses to go set my people free, Moses said, well, I got a problem. I got an issue. You don't know this is going on. I can't do it. Well, you go ahead. I hear you, Moses, but you need to go set my people free. Well, I can't do this. That's great. God bless you. I mean, I'm blessing myself, but God bless you. Go set my people free. Well, I got a bad toenail. I hear you. Go set my people free. No excuses. Consider them. You know, considering is a great thing. Have you ever run into somebody, maybe in the morning, you go to work, or you show up at class, or somebody wakes up in your home, he's snappy. You get in the office and all snappy at you. Snap back. Maybe later on in the day, you run into somebody, you should have seen old Betty Lou. I don't know a Betty Lou. Snapped at me. And then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, you didn't hear? You didn't hear? Her mother just got put in the nursing home. Oh, you didn't hear? Her teenage son just got arrested. I didn't know. What are you doing? You're considering. Do you know what considering does? It gives you a different perspective. I didn't know that. Why did I snap back at them? If I'd have had an idea, if I'd have known, I would have understood. And you know what else it does? Not only does considering give you a different perspective, guess what? Considering helps you to have a different reaction. Oh, well, let me go talk to him. I need to go find him. I'm so sorry. I just heard. What can I do for you? Considering. The Bible says in Hebrews, consider. Consider them. Consider them. Can I tell you this? There's a lot that have finished strong. Healing Place, we are not lone runners. We do not struggle alone. We do not raise our families alone. We don't believe for healing all alone. We're not building a church all alone. Others have run. They finish. They're cheering us on. Stay the course. Stay focused. Keep believing. You're not all by yourself. There are others that have gone before you. There are others that have faced giants. There are others that have faced their fear. And they have not quit, but they endured and held on. And they got their reward, Jesus. Hold on. Consider them. Consider them. Can I tell you the second thing that Hebrews teaches us? And I believe this is so true to us. I mean, the second thing that it talks about is consider the next generation. Consider the next generation. Remember that not only are you surrounded by those that are watching you, Hebrews chapter 11, I believe there are people in your life that are watching your race. There are others around you that are needing you to finish strong. Do you remember back in high school? I remember when I was in high school, I had a baseball coach. He was one of those guys, he'd kind of get your attention. When I wasn't paying attention, he'd throw baseballs at me. I was ADD and all around the baseball field. He was kind of one of those beaters. They don't have many coaches like that. They'd beat you, kind of punch you a couple times, grab you by the face mask, throw you on the ground. Just a real blessing in your life. And you know what he would always do? Before every game, he'd get the seniors. Where are my seniors? Give me my seniors. Get up here in the front. I need my seniors up here. Get up there in the front. He'd say, all these underclassmen, they're looking at you. They're watching you. There's underclassmen all over the field watching you. Lee, where are my seniors at? Y'all remember that? Do you remember that term, underclassmen, upperclassmen? Can I tell you that there's a lot of underclassmen all around us? Amen. that are hoping that somebody finishes strong. Do you know, we are responsible for the generations. God is a God that loves all generations. Well, he just thinks my generation is the best. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have a favorite generation. He doesn't have a time in the world that he likes better than another time in the world. God cares about everybody. He loves all generations. And it's our responsibility. God wants to reach all generations. God cares about every single generation. Even though a generation may be different than yours, it doesn't mean that your generation's better and that generation is less. God doesn't like music of a certain generation, as if God is impressed with our music. I like the music of the 70s. God's been living for eternity. You think he's locked in the 70s? It's God Almighty. The angel sings. The rocks cry out. We never limit him to our generation. He's a generational God that cares for all generations. All generations. And you know what? If he cares about all generations, I believe God wants us to be caring about all generations. We have a responsibility. Not only am I called to be a pastor of the church, guess what? As a Christian, I'm called to the generation that God has tucked me into. All of us are responsible for the generation that we live in right now. We have a responsibility to reach our generation. I love this little thought in Ezekiel. I'll just read it to you. Ezekiel chapter 3. Whew, it is strong too. Ezekiel chapter 3. You remember back in the day when your mama would give you medicine and she ain't never heard of cherry flavor? You remember that they give you medicine? I ain't never heard of bubble gum. It was called lacquer thinner flavor. Anybody remember that medicine? Lacquer thinner. Now they got like cotton candy. Nope. Ezekiel chapter 3 is strong medicine. So it says, at the end of the 7 days, the Lord gave me a message. Son of man, I've appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, pass it on to the people. We have a responsibility to pass on what we have, not to hold on to it. If you warn the wicked saying you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, they die in their sins. And I will hold you responsible, demanding your blood for theirs. If you warn them and they keep on sinning and refuse to repent, they will die in their sins. But you will have saved your life because you did what you were told to do so. If good people turn bad and don't listen to my warning, they will die. If you did not warn them of consequences, then they will die in their sins. Their precious good deeds won't help them. I will hold you responsible, demanding your blood for theirs. But if you warn them and they repent, they will live, and you will have saved your own life too. You and I are responsible for the generation that God has put us in. John Piper, a great pastor in Minnesota, tells a story. He was reading a story about a very successful couple out of the Reader's Digest, and they were talking about this financial successful couple that they did exceptional in their business. They made great decisions in business. So they took an early retirement, had great jobs, and they did well. They were living in the Northeast, but then they took a retirement in Porta Gorda, Florida. He was 59, she was 51. Now they were living a safe, secure, relaxed life. Kind of a life that a lot of people look to as successful. They bought a cruise sailboat so they would cruise around the bay. They would play golf. They would play tennis. And then the thing that they were most proud of is they were able to get an A-plus collection of shells. A shell collection that was one of the best in Florida. And that was their life. John Piper says this. Picture them before Christ at the judgment seat. Look, Lord, see my shells. See my shells. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. we consider the next generation. We are responsible with the truth that we have. I do not want to get to heaven and tell the Lord, see my shells, see my shells. I want to try to get to heaven and say, see the souls, see the souls. I think it would mean a whole lot more than a shell collection. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Last thought is consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. My heart was so full last night. My daughter's not in this service. I'll say it in this service. You know, for 3 hours, she stood right there, front and center. She doesn't say a lot. She takes it all in. She just stood right there for 3 hours during worship on Friday night. Last night, she stood for 4.5 hours right here in the middle. I just thought, wow, almost 8 hours. 8 hours. Thank God for those 8 hours. We had one parent stop by and said, I think it's gone long enough. I thought, has it gone long enough? I wonder how long the devil keeps people. I've seen people stand at LSU for 2 days for a ticket of a basketball game that they no longer think about. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. There's a story that's told about a Roman guard during the final Roman persecution of Christians. It was around the year 300, and this Roman guard is by the name of Adrian. Adrian was one of the strong Roman enforcers. So he was responsible when they would bring the Christians before the emperor, and the emperor would ask them to deny Christ. And when they would not deny Christ, they would put their name on a scroll. And then that day they were led away to be executed. And Adrian watched this over and over and over and over again. A man in charge watching it all. History tells us that one afternoon as they led a new group of Christians that were going to be martyred that afternoon, they led them before the emperor. And one by one, he said, deny Christ, deny Jesus. Recant your statement and you will live. And one by one, they said, put my name on the list. I will never deny Christ. There was one elderly gentleman that when he went up to put his name on that scroll, finally Adrian looked in his eyes. And history tells us that Adrian, all of a sudden in his eyes, saw Jesus. As they led that elderly gentleman off to be executed, the strangest thing happened that day. Adrian stepped in the front of the line and said, put my name on the list. Put my name on the list. And it stopped everything. The emperor, his friend, said, no, 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 no. Adrian, what are you doing? You're throwing your life away. What are you doing? Don't say that. Deny Christ. Deny the profession. Deny what you've just said. He said, I can't. I have seen the true King. I have seen Jesus. That moment, they led him away and his friends stretched him out on a table. And history tells us that they took hammers and they beat Adrian to death. His wife stood and watched. And when Adrian breathed his last breath, she walked before the emperor, put my name on the list. I've seen Jesus. And then they beat her to death. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. I don't know if there's ever been scenes that have impacted my life more than those that I saw in the Passion of the Christ. Even those scenes were pale probably in comparison to what Jesus really went through. How could we ever recreate what our Savior suffered for us? I thought about him this week. The Bible says, consider him who endured. It'll help you not give up. I pulled some of those pictures that impacted my heart and I thought about what Jesus went through. Again, this is just a reenactment. But it gives us a small thought. What did Christ go for? Not for his sins, but for our sins. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and now sits at the right hand of God. It's the name above all names. It's Jesus. Consider Jesus. Do you know, I don't feel like being a Christian. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like staying committed. I don't feel like forgiving. I wonder how many times the Lord felt like not going up that hill. But there was a joy that was set before him. You know what that joy was? That joy was the person you looked at in the mirror this morning. It was you. He's looking at you today. He says, consider me. Turn your eyes on me. You'll finish strong.